We are worshipping and celebrating God of heaven and earth. He is the God. Last few series, we have been seeing God as a God of comfort, God of all grace, and God of glory. And today, we are going to see God of heaven and earth. When we describe God of heaven and earth, we think about the scriptural passages that comes to our mind immediately, or from Genesis 1 from the Old Testament and John 1 from the New Testament. Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, it refers to time. God created the heavens denoting the space. And the earth he created refers to matter. Time, space, and matter. The God of Trinity is ruling over time, space, and matter. He is the ruler of all domains. God of heaven and earth is one of the many names of God can tell of the extent of his reign. Some names of God mentions about his earthly dominion, and some names refer to his spiritual dominion. But this name, God of heaven and earth, it refers to both the realms, heaven and earth. And John 1, we had a reading from Jennifer and Chichi today, and they were reading about God sending light into this darkened world. We were all filled with darkness. There was a complete void within us, and God sent that light to shine the light among the darkness world we were living. He came as fully God and fully human. And this light was shining from the heaven above to the earth through the person of Christ. Have you imagined this? Whenever we see people attaining a dignified position in the society, we feel a sort of distance or sort of a gap, and it makes a distant relationship in approaching them because of their dignified position. But the God of heaven and earth, owing to his supremacy, owing to his sovereignty, of his great majesty, he has not willing to keep that distance from us. He wants rather to approach us. He wants to build a closer relationship with us. He wants to bind with us. That is our God of heaven and earth. It is one of the things we need to celebrate today. Now, you will be seeing a transparent cover in each of your table. Yeah, like this. And each table has a verse in it. And two questions following the verse. And around your table, you can read the verse. Use the Bible if you want to read before and after. And discuss about the two questions that follows the verse. We can take 5 minutes and then we will discuss it through around. It is basically describing God of heaven and earth. Shall we start now? There are 4 copies inside each cover. You can share with the people nearby. You have no question, isn't it? Can I ask you to read Acts 17:24? Pick up 2 Bibles from there. and you are going to read Acts 17:24. Can you pick up those Bibles from there? Yeah, share it. Can you take Acts 17, chapter 24th verse? These are the two questions.
I'm really confused.
What?
Write it down.
Discuss with yourself. One of you.
Okay.
Okay. It's a vigorous Bible study, isn't it? So which group would like to start first to share about your thoughts, describing about God of heaven and the earth based on the verse what you have read, and if the verse is relating to your current life or current life of church, you can share with it. So any volunteers from which group going to start first? Wow.
We got a message from Isra. We got the message from Isra, chapter 5. Isra, chapter 5, verse 11.
The verse says, this is the answer they gave us. We are the servants of the God of heaven and the earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that a great king of Israel built and finished. Okay, so the questions put for us was like, describe God of heaven and earth based on this verse, and also how can this verse be related to you now? So we looked at the passage, and it's about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And here, it was surprising to see the quote, like how people are so trustworthy in God, and they understood how powerful their God is. That's why they say that we are the servants of God of heaven and earth. And also they are quoting, even though this temple was built in the past by a great king, now with God's strength we are able to build ourselves, which is a great faith and trust they had in their God. That's how we thought it can be described. And the next question, like, how can this verse be related to you now? And when we were discussing about this, it's again talking about the rebuilding of temple. Like, it's the God of heaven and earth lives in us, and we have to be able to rebuild ourselves in whatever circumstances or situations we are in. And then if God is with us, we can always rebuild from anything. So that's how we
discuss. thank you Balaji and the group. Rebuilding ourselves. We will summarize that at the end. Thank you. KS3. Anyone else here? Yeah. What was the verse you can read?
We got Acts 17, verse 24. Which is, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And the two questions were the same. So God is described as the creator of heaven and earth. This can imply that he's superior of everything and is all powerful. So, and how can this verse be related to you? In the verse, it says how he created the world and everything in it, which includes us. This means that he's all powerful to us, and without him, we won't be able to do anything.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Hope you had a good time. Any other group volunteering? Anyone from Lancashire? Yes, Faye.
Our group had Revelations, chapter 11, verse 13. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. And it was described God of heaven and earth based on this verse. And we said how powerful he was with actually the earthquake. But then he was very aware with the fact that only a tenth of the city collapsed. And the fact that those that were saved actually saw the glory in him and come to the Lord. It was remarkable, really, absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other bit was, how can this verse be related to you now? It seems very, very apt for the way that the world is going at the moment.
That's true. But he is our protector and everything. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Yes.
My understanding of our verse, we were given Luke 10:21. Basically, the whole verse, to my understanding, is about when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he spoke to them that they should go to, he blesses them, and he said they should go to the streets. Mm-hmm. He said when they're going, they should not speak to anyone, they should go to individual houses, mm-hmm. right? When they get there, mm-hmm. they should say to them, peace be unto you. Mm-hmm. If they have peace in their heart, they will receive them, mm-hmm. right? And if they don't receive them, they should dust their foot and leave. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the context of the whole story. Now, what it refers to, the question here says, describe God of heaven and earth mm-hmm. based on this verse. Right. God of heaven and earth is all-powerful. Mm-hmm. It says here in what you gave us that when Jesus finished giving instruction to his disciple, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit came unto him, which mm-hmm. is the power of God. Mm-hmm. That means he had peace and he had assurance that the authority that he said, whoever listens to you, listen to my Father. Mm-hmm. And whoever listens to my Father does not only listen to me, listen to my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. Which means he's already received the authority he got from his mm-hmm. Father, mm-hmm. of God of heaven, into the children. Mm-hmm. So they should go with that authority mm-hmm. and lay down what he said. Mm-hmm. That's what it means by God of heaven and earth.
Praise the Lord. I think a ministerial team can be extended and expanded. Yeah. Which one?
Does the one say in Lanky or English?
David is proud to say that he is from Lancashire.
I think.
Yeah.
It's reminding us there that Jesus said, except you become as a little child. Little children have brains like blotting paper. Mm-hmm. Who remembers blotting paper?
Mm. Yeah, computers, isn't it?
But you must be open to receive mm-hmm. the word, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. not think, oh, well, I'm clever and I don't need mm-hmm. to do
yeah,
that.
Yep.
Mm. That a child's mind mm-hmm. is willing to accept mm-hmm. whatever it mm-hmm. hears mm-hmm. in whatever tongue.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I praise the Lord Jesus. I cannot ignore taking the microphone from Pastor's husband. I declined initially, but since he's handed it over to me, I cannot refuse. Praise the Lord Jesus. Daniel 5:23. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from this temple brought to you. And you and your nobles, your wives, or your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, or bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hands your life and all your ways. The first question, describe God of heaven and earth based on this verse. The final verse makes us understand that God holds us in his hands. God who holds in his hands your life and all your ways. Mm. That is to say, God is a God who gives us life. Mm-hmm. He's the one who directs our steps. And is the one who leads us on the ways he has destined for us. Mm. He's also a God who sees all, who hears all, and who understands all. Mm. And that's not the same as the God of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Such gods are dead gods. They are lifeless gods, but our God is the God who lives and lives forever. Let me move on to the first one because of time. How can this verse be relating to you now? How can this verse be related to you now? The second verse says, you had the goblets from this temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines drank wine from them. He's talking about family. Mm-hmm. He was the head of his house and he did not control his house. Mm. The head of family should ensure that his family mm-hmm. worships the God mm-hmm. who orders our steps. Mm. He should not allow his family to go out of turn, especially relating to things of God. Because our God is the omnipotent. He can do all things. He still gives us success, and he's also the God who gives us the ability to make wealth.
Amen. Thank you very much. We can write more commentaries, I think. Very good. Fantastic. Anyone?
First part of the verse here, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, signifies that God is almighty and omnipotent, but also he is very near to us if we wish to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a verse that says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. So he's not only limited to temples and in our day and age churches, but wherever we may seek him, he's with us all
Amen.
The time.
Amen.
And he listens to us as we should listen to him.
Thank you. Very good. Anyone else volunteering from the other? See.
We have John 1:9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is John's testimony about Jesus. And I was thinking that in those days, the light that they would have would be the sun, the moon, and probably oil lamps. There would be a lot of other people. The church was not formed yet. There were Pharisees, there were Sadducees, each of them saying that this was the way. John was saying, no, the light is coming into the world. Describing God of heaven and earth based on this verse, I find that the truth then is as the truth now. However, now there are many other distractions. And the God of heaven and earth is true as then, as he is now, as he will be in the future. Jesus is alive then, is alive now in our hearts, and is coming again. How can this verse be related to you now? I'm thinking about the idea of a light. A light needs to be turned on. The church is the light on earth. We as individuals, as Christians, as people, believers, we are that light. And if we don't show others and point the way to Jesus, then, as Jesus says, how many people would put their light and cover it up? So to me, the light is as real then as it is now, as it will be in the future.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else volunteering from here? God of heaven and the earth has given us access to approach his throne boldly, and he has given us a privilege to communicate with him through prayers. We all go to God with the different things, sometimes with praise giving and thanks, and sometimes we go there with all of our list of worries and petitions. But in all ways, like we are welcome and encouraged by God himself to come unto him and communicate with him through prayers. Some people like to do prayer in a quiet way. If that is not tempting us for a deep sleep, we can pray in loud. And while praying loudly, we should take a point, we are not disturbing the person next to us. Once I was attending a prayer meeting, there was a lady who was sitting nearby. She was really responding very well for every sentence when the prayer was made by other people. She was saying, Amen, yes Lord, thank you. It was encouraging, but when she was praying, in the middle of the prayer, when she was saying, yes Lord, Amen, she said, Elijah, come here. I was thinking, what kind of prayer it is? Is she calling the spirit of Elijah? And then the prayer continued. And she said, Amen. Thank you, Lord. And then she said, Elijah, sit down. I was completely confused. What she is saying about Elijah, sit down. You can see my concentration, and I was already distracted. I am aligning with hers than listening to the prayer or making prayer on my own. And finally she said, Elijah, don't leave this place. And with temptation, I opened my eyes and looked around her, and I saw that in the middle of the prayer, she was talking with her grandson. So this happens in the fellowship prayer meeting. So we should be careful how, whether we are disturbing the person next to us or we are praying in quietness, our ultimate aim should be the focus on the Lord. And when we are praying, there is no specific format, like our eyes should be closed and our heads should be bowed down. Not like that. In the scripture, nowhere it is saying about any perfect format or anything like that. But the Lord Jesus himself has taught us how to start our prayer, saying, Heavenly Father. And then some people, due to ignorance, they pray, Lord Jesus, we have come to your presence. Lord Jesus, I have come with this petition. Lord Jesus. So some people in ignorance, they pray to Jesus. But Jesus himself has taught us, we need to pray to God through Jesus. In spirit. So when we are finishing the prayer, we have to say, Lord, we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, or any adjectives you use, you can do that, but through the name of Christ, and we need to pray in spirit. We all pray Lord's Prayer. Shall we say this together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I was thinking about all these different verses associating with God of heaven and earth, and then the Lord's Prayer came to my mind, and I thought, like, is it somewhere relating to that? There was a relation. Luke 10:21 and Acts 7:24, if you read that, Luke, Jesus is praying to God the Father in joyful spirit. And he is saying, loving Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. In the Old Testament days, and also even now, the Jewish people, if you approach them and ask them to say the name of the Lord, they will be a little bit hesitant. They won't tell the name of God just like that. They don't want to put his name in vain or something. So they don't want to pronounce Yahweh just like that. Instead, they want to describe God in different names. Jesus came, and he was the first one who introduced God, the heaven and earth, is our Father. None of the places in the Old Testament we see that we had that father-son or father-daughter relationship. Only Jesus came, and he said, God of heaven and earth is your Father. That is a personal relationship he built for us. And Acts 17:24, there was an unclear belief among the Greek scholars, as June was pointing out. Wise people, because of their wisdom, because of their learned thing, they can't find God. They did not identify who their God was, because in all their idols, they were writing a script below saying that to an unknown God. So they themselves don't know to whom they are worshipping. So Paul was explaining that God of heaven and earth is the God need to be worshipped. And for that, he has to call us, and we have to humble ourselves like a children. with wisdom and profound knowledge, we cannot identify Christ. With humbleness and hearing his calling and responding, we can do that. Genesis 24, 3 and 7, it is like God's will be done through our promises, God's promises and covenants. God doesn't need to make any promises. He is the Lord of Supreme. He is controlling everything. He has created the heaven and earth and all beings inside. He can just simply pass out the orders for everything to be done. But he wants to make a personal relationship. He wants to make some covenants with us. He is giving us promises, and God has given promises to Abraham and saying that your offspring will be multiplied. And Abraham followed that oath, and he was following that to his servant and saying that, don't go and find wife for my son from the other place. In the Canaanite where they were living, go to the place where they are, because God has promised this and now you need to listen to that. So the covenantal promise, God of heaven and earth, he doesn't need to make it, but he made it out of his love. Joshua 2:11, you can see about the Rahab, the pagan woman. All Jewish people were considering her as a pagan, but she came to know who is the Lord. And hearing the stories about how the Lord has rescued people of Israelites crossing through the Red Sea, she said, your Lord is a powerful one. And his name is hallowed. He is a holy one. And his name is great. And Daniel 5:23, we can see that he cannot be built. And Nebuchadnezzar and Belteshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar obeyed God, but Belteshazzar, he did not. That's why God was saying, your father obeyed, but you are not obeying. Forgive your sins. Repent for your sins, and you will be forgiven. And in that Lord's Prayer, we say that, Lord, lead me not into temptation. But there is a serious debate going around. In the premier radio, I heard 2 weeks ago, Pope was saying that, lead me not into temptation. Does God lead us to temptation? Because in James it says that God should not be called as a tempter. He never tempts anyone. But why in the Lord's Prayer we say that, lead me not into temptation? And there is a strong debate going, and he was suggesting it should be, lead me not into testing. So the Greek scholars are working around that, seeing what was the origin of that Greek word, testing or temptation, where to start that. Reformation, it is continuing. And Revelation 11:13, two oaths have passed. 7,000 people killed in earthquake. And even now, we are seeing the disaster happening around us. But in all those tribulation, people, those who were saved, they were giving glory and honor to God forever. So we can correlate that with the Lord's Prayer. And we are here today worshiping God of heaven and earth. The privilege he has given us through his son Jesus. As the light coming into this earth, we receive the light. And Jesus, after he says that, I am the light, in the following passages, he says, you are the light. So we are carrying his light now. We are carrying his light to the world around. We are taking him around. And we need to show that we are worshiping God of heaven and earth, who is my Father now, who is listening to my concern, who is always ready in fulfilling his promises. He cannot be built by human hands, so he is dwelling in me. That is the thing we are going to proclaim to the world around. Amen.